So we just came through Holy Week, which is, you know, starts with Palm Sunday. And what happened on Palm Sunday? Jesus came to Jerusalem. They waved palms. They thought it was a huge celebration, right? Jesus shows up, rides on a donkey. Everyone's gathered. They're super excited to see him. Waving palms. Hosanna, Hosanna. Cheering them on. It's like the Cleveland Browns finally won a Super Bowl. I'm guessing it's kind of like that celebration, right? And then what happens? Good Friday comes, right? So from Sunday, coming in as a conqueror, as everyone's hero, and then Friday, everybody's chanting to kill him. And you thought you had a bad week. You thought you had friends turn on you pretty quick. So Sunday came, they welcome him in as a hero. Friday comes and they choose a rebel, someone, a murderer, a terrorist, if you will, to go free and Jesus to be crucified on a cross. It was all his perfect plan, right? That's exactly how it's supposed to go. We didn't stop at Good Friday, then came Resurrection Sunday, right? And now we're looking forward to Pentecost in 40 days, well, not 40 days, 40 days from that Sunday. So that's what we have coming on the horizon. So what happened to the disciples during that week? I know on Palm Sunday, they thought they were probably pretty cool, right? I'm not a famous guy, but if I was like, I don't know, Bernie Kosar's right-hand man, and he just won the Super Bowl, and I was walking with him, I'd feel like I was pretty... Bernie Kosar fans? Okay. I'm an old Cleveland Brown. Okay, all right. If I was a friend of someone famous, and now he's invited there, I would think I'm pretty hot stuff, too, because, yeah, I'm this guy's friend, right? So that's what they're feeling like, too. Maybe they're feeling like, well, hey, you need to stay back a little bit. This is my friend. You don't know him. Stay away from him. But they were feeling pretty good. And then Friday comes around, and they see what happens. The guy that they just saw, they fled, right? They just saw this guy that they were hanging out with who said he was the Messiah, who they've seen raise people from the dead, heal blind eyes, turn water into wine, deaf people speak, all these different things. They were there with him and saw it happen. A little bit of conflict comes, and now they're all gone, right? But if they would have only known what was going to happen, maybe things would be different, right? No. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to set you up like that. Jesus told him exactly what was going to happen. He just plainly said it. Matthew 17:22, you can turn there if you want. We're going to be kind of jumping around in the Gospels today. So Matthew 17:22. I'm in the Passion Translation. I jump around between that and NIV. Whatever translation you want, it's fine. They read the same. So Matthew 17:22. It says, when they all gathered together in Galilee, that'd be the disciples and Jesus, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and turned over to his enemies. They will kill him, and in 3 days he will be resurrected. When the disciples heard these words, they were devastated. And in also in Mark 9:30, says it's the same story. And it says that they were confused and they had no idea what Jesus meant. But he just told them, the Son of Man, which he always referred to himself as, so they knew who he was talking about. So he said, I'm going to be betrayed and turned over to my enemies, and they will kill me. And in 3 days, I will be resurrected. He told them. Not just once. I believe that's the second time he told them that this was going to happen. They were confused. They didn't understand. They were devastated. They were afraid. They were scared. But when Good Friday came around and he was turned over to his enemies, they weren't thinking ahead like, oh, hey, here's day one. He said that I'm going to be turned over to my enemies. They're going to kill me, but in 3 days I'll be resurrected. They weren't thinking about that. They were thinking, oh my gosh, they just captured this guy who's way more powerful than anyone else I've ever seen in my life, and I know they're going to come after me. Some of them stayed by his side to watch the events, but none of them had this on their mind. They didn't believe, or they were so afraid or so devastated, so sad that this is happening, that they weren't thinking this way, right? They're in total fear. Even after Jesus raised from the dead, they still weren't getting it all together. It says that they were gathered and they locked the doors because they were afraid of the Jews around them, that they were going to come for them. John 20:19, you don't have to turn it if you want, but if you look at that in John 20:19, that tells that the disciples had gathered together, and it says that they were afraid of the Jews, so they locked the doors. After that gathering, they gathered again, and they locked the doors again. That doesn't sound like somebody that doesn't have fear, right? We lock doors because we don't want people coming in. Sometimes because we don't want people getting out, but you know. This time it was because they don't want people getting in, right? So if you'll turn to Luke 24:13. Luke 24:13. We're going to talk about what happened after the resurrection. So starting in chapter 24 of Luke, that's when both Marys were walking to the tomb. They get there, the stone's rolled away. They don't know what it means. They're afraid. They think somebody has stolen Jesus' body, and now they're not going to be able to continue their, I'll say rituals, but their customary things that they do when they bury people. So two men in white, which were angels, showed up and said, "Why are you looking for him here?" Some disciples go to the tomb and find it empty, right? So this has just happened. So it's Sunday. So we had Good Friday where Jesus was crucified, right? And he died. He did die. He was a man. He died. He was buried that day. Saturday, Sunday. Now, so we're just a few days away from when the disciples just saw their friend, their brother, be beaten beyond recognition. The events that happened, I don't know if a human person could even comprehend it. That's why I'm sure I'm not condemning the disciples, because I don't know how I would have reacted in that same situation. I mean, seeing this guy that you've never once seen anything, I'll say negative, but evil, or he's never had a sharp tongue to cut you down when I was a bonehead, or no matter who it was that came up to him, like the lady with the issue of blood, you know, there's tons of people around, and she touches him, and he knows it. He knows that something, that power just left his body because there was somebody with faith. He takes the time. That story says there's a crowd around him, so much so that the disciples, when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" they're like, are you serious? We have so many people here. Everybody's touching you. We can't figure that out." But he knew. He always took the time for that one person who had faith. Children running up to him. It says that he takes time to explain it. Like, I mean, he didn't say, "All right, get these kids out of here. I'm trying to have an adult conversation. We need to really buckle down and do these things." He let them all in. So this person that we just hung out with for 3 years, who's teaching us, who's the smartest man we know, is now been arrested by, and that part confuses us because we know he hasn't done anything wrong. So now we see him get arrested by the Romans because the Jewish leaders tell them to, and in their world, that's everybody. I mean, when you're living in that land, Rome rules everything, and your Jewish leader is the leaders of your culture. So everybody is against you now, and you have no idea why. It's a whirlwind. But now they see this guy get pummeled and beaten willingly. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't resist at all. And it scared them, so much so that they fled. But then they came back together and locked the doors probably trying to figure out what are we to do. I know they're going to come after us. But that Sunday, when we pick up at Luke 24:13, it says later that Sunday, that's the same Sunday that he came out of the tomb. Two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a journey of about 17 miles. They were in the midst of a discussion about all the events the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in their journey. So these two guys are walking along the road, talking about everything that just happened, probably from Palm Sunday through Good Friday to right now. They were unaware that it was Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. Apparently Jesus can go incognito, and people that's hung out with him for years have no idea. But they've been walking along, talking about everything that's happened, trying to figure out what do we do now, how this happened, when this other guy shows up. Jesus said to them, "You seem to be in deep discussion about something. What are you talking about so sad and gloomy?" They stopped, and the one named Cleopas answered, "Haven't you heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days?" Jesus asked, "What things?" "The things about Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they replied. "He was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful, and he had great favor with God and the people. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We all hoped that he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel." So they were thinking that when Jesus came in on Palm Sunday, he was the one that's going to rescue them, not just from the Jewish leaders and take over, but from Rome, because they were being ruled by Rome. And then verse 22, "Early this morning, some of the women informed us of something amazing. They said that they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. Some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly like the woman said. But no one has seen him." Jesus said to them, "Why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Christ, the Messiah, to experience all these sufferings and then afterward to enter into his glory?" So they're walking along, say that the woman found the tomb empty, and she said the angels told her that Jesus is alive. And it sounds like they don't quite believe that. Verse 27, Then Jesus carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scripture. He started from the beginning and explained the writings of Moses and all the prophets, showing how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about himself. As they approached the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling them he was going on to a distant place. They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "Stay with us, it will be dark soon." So Jesus went with them into the village. Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, then gave it to them. All at once their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. Then suddenly in a flash, Jesus vanished from before their very eyes. So they're walking along. Jesus shows up. Say, "Well, hey, why are you guys so down and gloomy? Oh, what are you kidding me? Are you the only one around here that doesn't pay attention? This guy that we hung out with, they just captured him and killed him." They say he was a mighty prophet. He performed miracles and wonders. He had the favor of God. I don't know if they used the word Messiah there. My Bible doesn't say it. But it sounds like they're saying he's a prophet of God, which was true, but he was more than just, he was the prophet. Like capital T, capital P, the prophet. Right? So Jesus doesn't just say, "Hey, you guys are idiots, I'm out of here. I'm going to somebody else that actually paid attention." No, it says that he stayed with them, walked with them this whole time, and started from the beginning and explained everything. There was more than just two disciples, right? More than just these two. But yet Jesus took time to spend with them to explain everything, because it was important that they understood. He started from the beginning and went all the way through. It wasn't until they sat down and he blessed the bread, probably reminded them of the Last Supper, And boom, it was revealed to them that this is Jesus. Verse 32, stunned, they looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize it was him? Didn't our hearts burn with flames of holy passion while we walked beside him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures." They left at once and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. When they found the 11 and the other disciples all together, they overheard them saying, "It's really true. The Lord has risen from the dead. He even appeared to Peter." Then the two disciples told the others what had happened to them on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus had unveiled himself as he broke bread with them. While they were still discussing all this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes. Startled and terrified, the disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost. Standing there among them, he said, "Be at peace. I am the living God. Don't be afraid. Why would you be so frightened? Don't let doubt or fear enter your hearts, for I am." So they just got done talking to each other. "It's true. He is alive. Hey, yeah, I saw him too. No, yeah, he showed up to Peter. Hey, we were walking along the road and he showed up to us. Wow, he really is alive." Then boom, he's in the room and like, "Oh my gosh, it's a ghost." They still didn't realize, right? They're saying they believe, but it still wasn't true. He shows up and says, "It's me." We're going to skip down to verse 44, same chapter. So, Luke 24, verse 44. Then he said to them, which is Jesus, then Jesus said to them, "Don't you remember the words that I spoke to you when I was with you? I told you that everything written about me would be fulfilled, including all the prophecies from the law of Moses, through the Psalms, and the writing of the prophets, that they would all find their fulfillment." Jesus supernaturally unlocked their understanding to receive the revelation of the scriptures. Then said to them, "Everything that has happened fulfills what was prophesied of me." So Jesus is like, "Don't you remember what I told you? We read there in Matthew 17:22 that that was the second time that Jesus had just told them everything that was going to happen. Hey, I'm going to be coming in here. They're going to capture me. My enemies will capture me. They're going to kill me. And then I'm going to raise up 3 days later." He's like, "Don't you remember what I just told you?" That was just about his death. All along for the last 3 years, Jesus had explained the scriptures to them about all the different prophecies in the Bible that lined up together foretelling what was going to happen, that Jesus was going to come, that he was going to give himself up to save mankind. Verse 50 in Luke 24 said, Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany. He lifted his hands over them and blessed them in his love. While he was still speaking out words of love and blessing, he floated off the ground into the sky, ascending into heaven before their very eyes. And all they could do was worship him. Overwhelmed and ecstatic with joy, they made their way back to Jerusalem. Every day they went to the temple, praising and worshiping God. So Jesus was with them. As he's ascending to heaven, he's blessing them, giving them words of love. They were overwhelmed and all they could do was worship him. Go to Matthew 28:18. We're going to see what Matthew says about that same event. It's the very end of Matthew. Matthew 28:18. So it's the same thing. Jesus is with the disciples in the room. He was talking to them. Then they go to the mountain, and Jesus is going to raise up into heaven. Verse 18, it says, then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. Or in the NIV it says, never forget that I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So Jesus says, we just got done talking about Jesus telling the disciples everything that's going to happen. about all the things that were prophesied in the Bible, in the Old Testament about him, and about Jesus actually telling them exactly what was going to happen. I'm going to be delivered to my enemies. They're going to kill me. In 3 days, I'm going to raise up. Matthew 28:18 is where we are at. But at the very end, it says, Jesus is telling them, but you know that Jesus isn't just telling the disciples this. He knows that this is going to be in the Bible, and that this is meant to be shared with everybody. He's telling the disciples to go everywhere and tell them about me, everything that I've said. So Jesus is saying, never forget that I am with you always. You know, I think sometimes we either forget that or don't believe that. Because if I truly was conscious about this and believed that Jesus was with me always, I probably would do some things different. Maybe some things I did I wouldn't do. And maybe some things I didn't do I should have. And I would have. Right? Whether it be, like before I was saved, I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. I didn't think that Jesus was right here. It didn't matter to me that Jesus was right here with me always. Or coming up here today and speaking to you. This isn't something I would have done years ago. I wouldn't have stood up here in front of people. If you saw any of my home videos when I was a little kid, I was the one crying in the corner. Right? That's how you could tell who I was. I was either hiding behind mom's leg, you know, that way nobody saw me. I didn't want to stand out. I know I've told you guys this before, but through basic training, it was graduation day, and my lieutenant didn't even know who I was. I was able to go through basic training, and my leaders not even know who I was because I was that stealthy, right? I didn't make waves. Nobody knew I was there. And when I grew up in the church, and before I really like gave everything to Jesus, I was kind of like one of those ninja Christians, right? Like I was going to church. I was going to youth group on Wednesdays, but like I go to school or college on Thursdays. You didn't know that I was a Christian. Right, I wasn't living the same what I was going to church for. I was one of those stealthy 007 Christians. If I would have thought that and actually comprehended and believed that Jesus was with me always, I probably would have lived a lot. I know I would have lived a lot different. So coming up here today, I honestly was not nervous. Because it doesn't matter. What is there to be nervous about when you know that Jesus is right here with you always? If you could actually see him right now, and if he wanted to, I know he would reveal himself. It doesn't mean that he's not right here, but if I could actually physically see him right here, do you think that anybody would even look at me? No, who cares about me when Jesus is standing here, right? When I go to work, Jesus is with me always. I go to work, he is with me always. So maybe I should watch how I speak. The actions that I say, I can tell you that when I go to work, I consciously think that I am representing Jesus. I've got a 40-minute drive to work, and on my 40-minute drive, I make sure my mind's right because I can't afford to have one slip up. Okay, I'm not allowed to have a bad day. I'm not. If I ever have a bad day and I say, "Hell, I'm just nobody's perfect. I'm just having a bad day," I am selling myself short, and I am not giving everything I have to Jesus. Because Jesus, I've read this Bible, I've read the four Gospels. I don't ever remember it saying, "Well, this day Jesus had a bad day, but he did a lot of good things, so we just let it slide this time." No, I see the exact opposite. Everybody around Jesus were having a bad day almost every day. And Jesus modeled exactly our response to it. If I had a bad day and I spoke to somebody at work wrongly, that's going to stick with them because they know that I'm a Christian. My boss knows that I'm a Christian. That's great. I hope people around you know that you follow Jesus, right? But it's more important than you just saying that you're a Christian. It's your actions that follow up, right? We all know that. We all know people that say one thing and do another. We can't do that. If we do that, we're misrepresenting who we say and what we believe. So if we actually believe that Jesus is right here with us always, he tells us, never forget that I am with you every day, always. So when I'm playing video games on my couch, Jesus is with me. That doesn't mean I can't play video games. Unless Jesus said, hey, you better get ready for church tomorrow. Maybe you should look up a scripture. I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to play baseball again and try to beat the Yankees with the Guardians and not give up a run in the bottom of the ninth and lose the game. Yeah. But, yeah. Right. There might be times when that happens, but what he's telling us is never forget I am with you always. What do we have to be afraid of? Sure, there's going to be things that happen. But I guarantee you, if the disciples either remembered or truly believed everything that Jesus had told them for 3 years, I don't think they would have reacted the same way that they did. Now, Jesus knew that they were going to do that, right? He wasn't let down by their actions, but it was definitely a teaching point. Not just those disciples, but still to us today. I see myself in all those disciples, different stories. Where, like, Peter, you know, they come to capture Jesus, and Peter is like, ah, I'm going to fight for you, and he starts punching people and cutting people's ears off, you know? And Jesus is like, what are you doing? That's not how I need you to fight for me. Or, like, all the people in Jerusalem, when Jesus shows up on Palm Sunday, and they're like, yay, Jesus is here. They were putting their plans on Jesus, and not thinking about what Jesus' plans were. When we try to dictate the plans of Jesus, we're going to turn on him pretty quick. Because his plans probably aren't my plans, if I'm thinking with a worldly mindset, right? So it says, never forget, I am with you always, even to the completion of the age. So we need to make sure that we're mindful of that. All the time, no matter where you go, never be afraid. Maybe you're going to be in a situation where you have to say something. And I don't even mean to correct something. Maybe somebody is having this devastating situation, and they're telling you, I'm telling you, you don't have to be the one that has to know what to say. You just have to be the vessel to allow Jesus to speak through you. Sometimes it's not even what you say, it's just that you're there. You know, since we carry Jesus everywhere we go, that means His Spirit is going everywhere. Nothing can come against His Spirit. So no matter how dark the area is, like I bring up my job a lot because I work for a living, right? Most of us here, I don't think anybody here is a preacher, like a pastor of the church. So all of us are out in the world working or have worked, retired, whatever it is. You're around people, right? And it's not in a church setting. That doesn't give you an excuse not to represent Jesus, right? That means that we are the ones that people actually look for. So if Pastor Starkey is someplace and somebody's telling them about their situation, or somebody comes in and, I don't know, let's say there's an armed robbery and a guy says, give me all your money. Oh, they expect the pastor. Like, oh, here you go. Here's my coat too. Whatever the situation is, they're expecting a pastor to be a certain way, right? To respond a certain way. Maybe like if somebody comes in and starts cussing up a storm and yelling at them and threatening them, that you expect the pastor to be reserved and, oh, it's okay. But it says a lot more when I'm at work and somebody comes up to me and really lays into me and gives me a piece of their mind and I don't respond the same way that they just lashed out to me, right? Yeah.
I have a little thing.
Okay.
And the world shows you hate, love is what we transfer.
That's right. Your actions are going to speak way louder than any word you're going to say, unless Jesus gives you the words to say. But what I'm saying is, we can't forget that Jesus is with us always. There's never a reason to fear. There's never a reason to be nervous. Because He is with us always. If He didn't mean it, He wouldn't have said it. Because Jesus knew that those words were going to be in this Bible, and on April 24, 2022, that we were going to read them again. Sound good? Yeah, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for making sure those words are written in the Bible. Lord, I ask you right now to transform my mind. To never let me forget that you are with me always. when I'm in that situation, and I can be a witness for you, I want the courage to speak up, to do the right actions. I feel no pressure when I'm going to witness, when I want to speak about you to my unbelieving friends and family, because you are with me always. Lord, let me be more conscious of that. Lord, right now I just speak to everyone's mind, that everything be quieted in their mind. The things that are coming in their mind that's trying to distract them from your whisper, that your whisper will be more recognizable than any loud noise and distractions in their mind. Lord, we know that this time is too important. We can feel it in the world right now, in America, that this is the time that we need to believe it, that you are with us always. So I thank you for never giving up on us. Even when we do forget that you are with us, Lord, you're right here, never leaving. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, I just speak to everyone here. I bless you in Jesus' name. As you become more conscious of Him, may you feel His love even more, and the joy of His Spirit well up inside of you, so much so that you can't contain it and you've got to spread it. That everyone can see it on your body, that there's something different about you. With all the things that are happening in this world, you're different. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.